Surprise. It's surprise. We're a day early, not totally planned, but probably should have been planned because I totally spaced on communicating my schedule with the rest of the crew. But we set it on Chicks in the Office. The Chicks in the Office squad is taking a little break, taking a little vacation, which honestly, very funny, was pretty much forced upon Noah. Noah produces Chicks in the Office. And he, I don't think, has taken one day off ever in the time that he's been working at Barstool. And yeah, and Jen, our head of talent, and she was like, I'm forcing him to take time off. So as a unit, we all agreed to take time off together so that Noah wouldn't have to worry about, you know, editing anything. And so
it's solidarity. You're doing it in solidarity.
Yeah, exactly. I'm allowed out in the world because Easter was my first day back out.
Back in the world. Now I'm in, just traded places. And, but like I said, I'm sorry you had it. I had it last year. Now I'm just like, well, I'm healthy. I just can't go anywhere.
Yeah. Yeah. And hopefully, you know, it's funny because I saw an article recently that was saying cases, there's still a lot of cases in young people. And it was like, well, the older people are the ones that are hopefully getting vaccinated.
Yep.
And New York, where we are, is very, very soon for everyone. You know, adults is actually today, 16 plus. You can go get your vaccine. So I know a lot of people in the office are jumping on that, making sure everybody's vaccinated, because then that's one step closer to all of us being good to go in the office. So yes. I got my appointment in a couple of weeks.
Me too. Shout out to Javits Center. I can't
wait. Yep.
I will say, you know, obviously talking about the NFL, we have a few months until stadiums are being packed, but I'll tell you what, watching, because I do love baseball. I'm not near as much of a baseball fan as football, obviously, but I like to tune in.
Yeah.
A couple teams I pay a lot of attention to, and they're all showing the scenes from the Texas Rangers stadium that's at 100% capacity. And that, so I grew up in Arlington. So that's like my hometown, and it is shocking to me.
Yeah.
What you believe, like where you stand on it, just to see a full stadium is so weird. And I'm trying to picture that for the NFL. And it's just so hard to think that that's a reality, but it potentially could be because we're all getting vaccinated now, which is crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. So good things ahead. Hopefully we got some great things we want to chat about, catch up on in the NFL. Let's get started with probably the biggest story this week. Sam Darnold is off to Carolina. He has been traded officially. The Jets traded Sam Darnold to the Panthers for a 2021 sixth-round pick and a 2022 second and fourth-round pick. So three picks total, a second-rounder in 2022 being the highest. And this news came, you know, Monday afternoon. We weren't really sure what was going to happen with Sam Darnold, but it did seem like from all the talk around the draft and everybody talking about Zach Wilson going to, well, the Jets have the second pick. If they're going to take Zach Wilson, they're going to do something with Sam Darnold. And this is it. He's going to the Panthers.
Yeah, Sam Darnold was up in the air even like last year. You know, he went through the mono thing two seasons ago. And then last year it was kind of like, okay, like, is he really going to be the franchise quarterback? And not just is it of his ability, but are the Jets a good fit for him? And I think that's the big question with him, that we'll see what happens in Carolina. It's like, can he be a good quarterback in a different system than the New York Jets? Which I think that he can be. You know, when he came out of college, he was a very highly touted draft prospect. The Jets, they're just a shit show. We know that. So as soon as I saw that they were going to have the second pick and they fucked themselves over not getting the first pick by winning a game this season, which is just still very funny.
Yep.
It was going to see what they were going to do. Now, I don't know. And I mean, I know the conspiracy theories are flying around. Like if they had the third, fourth or fifth, if they would have gotten rid of Sam Darnold or not, you know, you're seeing a lot of people say, well, it's only because they know that they can get Zach Wilson at number two. I don't know if that's a solid reasoning to do it, because I'm not sold that he's going to be a great NFL quarterback, but I do know that Sam Darnold wasn't necessarily working in New York. So I see their reasoning, but it's kind of like, you're risking a lot.
Yeah. And look, with that spot at two, of course they're not getting Trevor Lawrence, but we have been talking about how many quarterbacks are in this class. And on top of that, are all seemingly going to go pretty early on. mm-hmm. that they the options are there. The, you know, Joe Douglas isn't outright saying like, yeah, we're taking Zach Wilson. He's out here making jokes, and he said something. What did he say in his press conference? Because I guess Steve Young had said something along the lines of it's like a done deal for Zach Wilson to be going to the Jets at 2. And Joe Douglas had said like, oh yeah, well we all know Steve's really clued in with what's going on at BYU. Like, so, yeah, it's some interesting storylines now for Sam. It's so crazy, Casey, because it feels like he has been in this league for so long.
It does.
Like, and he just hasn't. Like, this kid is currently 23 years old. Like, his birthday's in June. He's 23. He was born in 1997. Like, he's so young where it's crazy that to think that, you know, his time on the Jets should be like the end of his time as a starting quarterback in the NFL. I really do think that he deserves this second chance somewhere else. And if it falls apart in Carolina, so be it. But he was never really, you know, given the right tools to excel. And with coaching changes and players changes and just a lot of suckiness in New York, like lack of a better word. And he's going to go to Carolina now where they have these, you know, young guys. Great, good, like fast, fun receiving core. You reunited with Robbie Anderson and a coach like Matt Rhule, who I think knows how to navigate, how to, you know, coach a quarterback like Sam Darnold compared to some of these other coaches that they have, Adam Gase. And, you know, it's like, I think this gives him way more of a fair chance.
Yeah. Adam Gase we knew he was going to be a shit show in New York from his introductory press conference when it looked like he was on smelling salts. Like what Adam Gase is doing in New York doesn't make any sense to me. And I know that Jets fans feel the same way. That's why when I saw this move with Sam Darnold, it didn't like raise near as many flags to me as it would if it was a different franchise, because the Jets are the punching bag right now. The Jets are kind of the laughing stock, and they lost the opportunity at Trevor Lawrence. Obviously, Sam Darnold would have been gone if Trevor Lawrence was going to be drafted there. But the big thing for me with Sam Darnold now is not just Matt Rhule, and I have to put my bias aside because Matt Rhule did coach at Baylor, and I fucking hate Baylor. We'll put that aside. I hate Baylor so much. But Joe Brady, who was Joe Burrow's passing game coordinator at LSU, is with Matt Rhule in Carolina. That's more intriguing to me than anything else, because now granted, you're talking about a college football system versus the NFL, but the fact that Joe Brady and Joe Burrow just caught lightning in a bottle at LSU, they had, you know, arguably one of the best college football seasons of all time. Joe Burrow obviously had a hell of a season with that coaching staff. What could Joe Brady do in the NFL to bring Sam Darnold to that next level? Because like you mentioned, he's young. He ended up in New York. The Jets are a fucking dumpster fire right now. What can Joe Brady do to help Sam Darnold be the guy that people thought he was going to be coming out of college? And that to me is the most interesting part of it. And then the fact that the Chicago Bears could have maybe had Sam Darnold, but they have Andy Dalton. Like, it's just crazy that, like, we go back to that. And I know the Bears fans are like, well, you know, what can we do? But it's like, if Sam Darnold was on the trading block and they were shopping around, how the fuck did the Bears end up with Andy Dalton?
Yeah, it's crazy to think that, no offense to Andy Dalton, but it's like, was that the best they could do? You know, it's like, and not only to sign him, but to sign him as their starting quarterback. Like it's definitely shocking. It's definitely going to be really interesting how this whole quarterback situation plays out, especially like you said, with Zach Wilson potentially going at 2. And I think we're going to continue to hear these rumors, trade rumors, mm-hmm. things going on. You know, do the 49ers want Mac Jones? Do they want Justin Fields? Like it's It's crazy because I feel like those top three for the last couple of weeks have felt fairly locked in.
Mm-hmm.
And now I don't know if it's just because like the media is getting bored and they want to mix it up and like try and, you know, keep everyone on their toes to be like, oh, well, you know, maybe they're not going there. Maybe they're going earlier. Maybe Mac Jones is jumping into the top three spot here. So it's interesting to see how now the narrative is kind of changing.
Yeah, Justin Fields, and I say slander, like that's not necessarily the word, but that's what I said in the group text. Like you look at a lot of the headlines, like they're negative on him right now. Whereas coming, you know, especially going in the last season of college, but then coming out of his college season, he was on a positive, you know, hierarchy type of situation. But now you're seeing a lot of people that are kind of down on him, and Mac Jones has kind of taken that place. Now, when you look at Mac Jones' stats at Alabama last year, they do compare to Joe Burrow's the year before at LSU. Obviously, Alabama won the national championship. But when you look at what Mac Jones had around him at Alabama, it's the best of the best. The best offensive line, the best receivers in the country, just the best of everything. So it's like, does that translate to the NFL? We're going to see. But when you play for Alabama, you're going to look a lot better than if you play for a different team. Now that
and Alabama also looks better than some of the poorer NFL teams. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, like you're gonna be a better player surrounded by better players on Alabama than you potentially are like playing for like the Jets. Like
that's like the age old like Twitter joke. Now, of course, it's not the Browns anymore because the Browns actually made the playoffs last year. But it's always like. Yeah. Could Alabama beat the Browns? Like, could Alabama beat the Jags or the Jets? But Zach Wilson is still, and I'm so interested to see how this plays out because, you know, BYU, they had a great season. He obviously had one hell of a season, has great tape, has done well in this offseason to put himself in that perspective number two slot. It's just so hard for me to fathom that they're seeing something from a BYU quarterback that says he can be a franchise quarterback right away in New York. Because by getting rid of Sam Darnold, that's what they're saying. If that's what they're going to do. And like you mentioned,
the culture is also so crazy to me just because there has always been such a, not stigma around New York, but just like you're in New York City. Like you got a fast paced life, man. Kind of stick with the crowd. The fans are crazy. They'll dig into you. This is one of the biggest, you're in the biggest city in the country, and you have to live up to that and live up to those standards. And it couldn't be more opposite of BYU and everything that BYU stands for.
Sure could not be. And that's, you know, when you talk about like shit show franchises, like one of the things that the Jets have is the fact that they are in New York City. Now the Giants aren't very good right now anyways, but it's like, if you can come in to a New York franchise, regardless of what sport, and change that team's trajectory, you're the king of one of the cities in the world. The problem is now we're assuming it is Zach Wilson. Cause like you mentioned, you know, with the Joe Douglas, Steve Young, all those comments, it seems like they're quote committed to this. Putting a rookie quarterback who played at not a big time school, like yes, BYU is a big college, but it's not a big time Power Five conference school that's, you know, you're used to seeing in the headlines. Putting him in that situation is going to be very difficult with no one else as of right now. No one else there. So like to me, it's like maybe you keep Sam Darnold for a year. You draft Zach Wilson if you think he's the guy. Give him a year to learn and then be able to get used to the New York media. Well, now that it looks like they're just going to be like, well, fuck you. You're just
toss him in the deep end.
Right. So he's either going to be the king of a city that's completely opposite of BYU or he is going to be torn apart. And if the scouts are right, he has an opportunity. But just it's the Jets. Yeah. That's why you don't look at the Jets the last couple of years and blame Sam Darnold. I mean, you can't, you know, he had some blame, but it's not Sam Darnold's fault. It's the franchise's fault. So we'll see, but huge move. And sorry to the Bears fans. You still ended up with Andy Dalton.
Yeah. Yeah. So what, I've got a question now to close up the draft talk a little bit. What do we think is going on with Justin Fields?
I don't see, that's what's so confusing to me because, and a lot of it has to do, you know, not to get like super nitty gritty about what happened in college football last year, but coming into the 2020 season, he was right behind Trevor Lawrence. You know, it wasn't a 1A, 1B situation, but it was definitely like, okay, these are the top two quarterbacks in the country. But then the Big Ten didn't play near as many games as the other Power Five conferences. So we didn't get to see Justin Fields very much. In fact, like that was the whole argument. Like they only had six games. Obviously, they got absolutely killed in the playoffs at the end of the day. So I think that that's playing into it. It's a lot of people are like, well, wait a minute. Is he as good as we thought he was? But I don't think that's a fair thing because right. The Big Ten didn't play an entire season.
Right.
And when he played lesser defenses, he looked great. When he got pressured, he didn't look good. So I don't know what they're seeing with their pro days. I don't know what they're looking at. But to me, it's just a really bad situation for him because there's just not as much tape as these other guys have because the Big Ten fucked up the season last year. Right. So where I am right now is I think he's going to fall further than a lot of people thought because, like, when you look at his headlines, they are negative or more negative than they were maybe potentially even like a month or so ago.
Right. Yeah.
I think he's still going to go, you know, in the top of the draft. I mean, I think he's going to go clearly first round, but it seems like his stock just keeps falling.
It's been interesting to see this last week, how some of the narratives about those first few picks have been changing
right,
and different discussions. Problem. Yeah. Like, right.
yeah. Seeing, you know, that we potentially aren't seeing. And, you know, like Ryan Day, the head coach of Ohio State, has come out and, you know, he's defended Justin Fields because there's these rumors like he doesn't have a great work ethic. And I think the word was used like reckless, like whatever it may be. And Ryan Day's like, these are like not claims that are true. And so it's like, what's happening in these interviews? Who's talking? Who's not talking? And you're right. It could just be talking season. These things could be pieces for different teams. But I guess we'll see. I don't know. But then you've got Trey Lance too. It's just, this is a very quarterback heavy draft. And I think Justin Fields of all of them is going to catch kind of the worst part of it because leading up to the draft, his stock is falling the most.
Right. Well, we will definitely find out, but I got to say, you know, we're getting closer to draft time. And to me, when that happens, we're getting closer to draft day, which means the weather's getting nicer, which means it's getting warmer, which means we're finally getting into spring. We can ditch those coats and all those things. And I just want to remind everyone that you can get some amazing t-shirts, sweatshirts, you know, the best when it's like, it's in the 60s. You could go out like just in maybe a jeans and a sweatshirt. You don't have to worry about a jacket or anything. The Barstool Sports Store has some amazing apparel, whether it's just your basic Barstool Sports branded stuff, you know, crew necks, jackets, t-shirts, long sleeve, hats, everything you need to get ready for spring and summer. We have, you can always check out our dime package merch as well. You can get yourself a Pro Petty crew neck.
Love Pro Petty.
Yeah. And the colors, I will say, perfect for spring. The nice blue. It's just, I would say, a perfect spring color. So you can head over to the store.barstoolsports.com to shop and really just enhance your spring wardrobe.
Yeah, why not? I mean, it's so nice outside in New York right now that, like, even though I can't go anywhere, like, I've just got all the windows open. It's a beautiful time. Also, I mean, and I know you talk to Merch Allison a lot, too.
Yep.
Bikinis are coming soon, ladies. So if you're listening to this, new bikinis for the summer in the Barstool Sports Store. And I'm telling you, I am like obsessed with all the designs. They're going to be great.
Yeah. Yeah. This is always a fun time of designing stuff and getting it out there. So we're super excited. So like I said, go to store.barstoolsports.com to start shopping. Casey, I'm not sure. This is another thing that I'm like, okay, is Antonio Brown not going to be in Tampa again? And if he's not, where would he be? But why would he not be in Tampa? Because I can't even really process him being on any other team. Like, I just feel like if he is going to be in the NFL and thrive in the NFL and not get into any trouble or side antics or anything, he like needs to be with Tom Brady.
He simply needs to be.
Yeah.
I mean, I know we bring it up all the time, but they are the stepbrothers movie poster. Like, we can't separate them. And as of right now, I think that the number one team that's not the Bucks that's being rumored is the Seahawks potentially, which, you know, I could see making sense.
Well, and they wanted him they wanted him last time around too.
Right.
Russell Wilson really wanted him.
But it's like, he works with Tom Brady. They didn't work out in New England because he couldn't stay out of trouble, but they do work in Tampa Bay. And it is a very curious, like, financial situation, which again, I'm not even going to try to understand.
Yeah.
But it's like the Bucs are returning. They're basically their entire team. They just won the Super Bowl. They're returning their entire starting lineup. And one of those key offensive weapons was AB for Tom Brady. So why hasn't this deal been made yet? Like, why is he still a free agent as of right now at 7 p.m. on Tuesday when we're recording this? It's like, this seems like a no-brainer to me.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, like you had just said, money-wise has got to be the only thing. And who knows what's going on behind the scenes there. And Antonio Brown ended the season on an absolute high. We know that. Super Bowl win, but not only a Super Bowl win contributing to that Super Bowl win. Okay. Being an active player, one touchdown.
Either one or two. It was him and Gronk. Those are the two.
Yeah, I know Gronk had two.
So then one. Yeah, it
so
was
then one for AB. Yeah. So that's what I'm saying. Like, you, an active member of this team there in the Super Bowl, where you're really making plays. So the only thing I can really think of is like Antonio Brown has a little bit of a devil angel on the shoulder situation, mm-hmm. where it's like, this is, I know this is the right team and this is where I most likely will thrive. However, I still love myself so much and value I still feel like I should be making a lot of money.
Right.
And am I going to be able to make that money here, or could I make that somewhere else? But then I wouldn't be on this team.
Well, you just nailed it, because it's like, you know, and again, cap space, don't have a fucking clue. Not even going to try.
Right. Yeah.
What I understand is that the Bucks don't have a lot of cap space. So if AB wants a super lucrative deal, he can't be in Tampa Bay. Well, what we know about AB is not only is he a very talented receiver, he also has one of the biggest egos in the league, and he just won a Super Bowl. So you add all of that together, and it's like, okay, you know, you see him on social media going back and forth talking about how he wants to stay in Tampa Bay, and that might be true, but does he think they're going to pay him what he's worth, and can they pay him what he thinks he's worth? Those are two separate things, and both look like right now potentially no, whereas the Seahawks can, and Russell Wilson wants him. So it's kind of a what's going to win out? Does he want to stay with Tom and the Bucks? Does he want to get paid more? Can they pay him more? So it's an ever growing situation. But him being a free agent still is, I mean, that's what I'm watching the most outside of the draft, is like, where's AB going to end up? Because he did just win a Super Bowl and he's got a massive ego. So
yeah, I'm not going to lie, I do kind of forget about him sometimes. Like when you had texted that in the group, I was like, oh damn, I guess that's true. Didn't even realize that.
He's like advocating for himself, you know what
right,
I mean?
Right. Of course.
Me, resign me. And he's, you know, and you look at the receivers in Tampa Bay, we've talked about a lot. You've got Chris Godwin, you have Mike Evans, you've got younger guys. So it's not like they need Antonio Brown. However, Tom Brady clearly had a comfort blanket in Antonio Brown. So if you're Tampa, you want to make that happen. And AB wants to make it happen too. But if he ends up in Seattle, hopefully he can stay out of trouble. Cause I don't know if Russell Wilson's going to let him move in. I'm just saying. You think Sierra is going to let him move in? Probably not. But Giselle did. I'm just saying.
Fair.
Just saying.
very fair. While we're on the topic of contracts, this clip is going viral right now of Brandon Marshall. Brandon, on his I Am Athlete show, he was in an argument with Channing Crowder and Chad Johnson, Chad Ochocinco, and he was adamant, loud, screaming, standing, adamant that NBA contracts are not most of them are not guaranteed money. He said that like the top four players have guaranteed money, but other than that, there is no guaranteed money. And it's honestly kind of hard to follow along. Like, I was watching it and was like, what exactly is he trying to argue? Is he trying to argue like that the NFL is better, like you're better off getting an NFL contract than an NBA contract? But Chad Johnson and Channing Crowder were looking at him like he had three heads, because they were like, hey, you're wrong. You're just
flat out wrong. And like, if you have, if you're listening to this and you haven't seen the clip, you have to go see it, because Fran said yelling and screaming, like, that's underplaying it. This man was throwing an absolute fit, screaming, yelling. And it was, it, what it really reminded me of is when you're like in a political group text, or when you're in a political argument and it's like, somebody's just yelling louder than everyone else. And it's like, okay, well shit. Like, if you're this passionate about it, you must be right. He was dead wrong. And what the whole argument is, and we know this about the NFL doesn't have guaranteed contracts, which sucks, because you're putting your body physically on the line way more than the NBA does.
Right.
The NBA has a lot less players. But his argument that
and just, more guaranteed money.
Yes. And the NBA,
contrary to what Brandon Marshall is saying.
Right. That's like, the NBA is guaranteed money. And the funniest part of this whole thing was guys like Lou Williams coming out and being like, bruh, you're wrong, fam. Like, what you talking about, dude? Like, all the memes are so funny. But he was so adamant and so wrong. It was incredible. It was incredible entertainment. Like, I haven't seen if he's come out and, like, walked it back yet. I think if I was him at this point, I wouldn't. I'd just be like, you know what? I screamed and yelled. I made a scene. I was wrong. Like, I think I would just, like, not ever address it ever again. You really can't walk that one back.
Yeah, it's hard when you really see the passion behind arguments.
Ocho Cinco, Chad Johnson's face, when he starts, when he's like, dude, what are you talking about? Based on what? And he gets even louder and he's like, only the top four guys, anybody else can be cut on a whim and it doesn't matter. And it's like, what are you talking about? That's just not true. But I'll give it to him.
Yep.
Brandon Marshall gave us entertainment. And I'll definitely pay it. Did. And people are talking about his show. People are talking about him. And at the end of the day, it's like when Skip Bayless says dumb shit, guess what? We're still talking about Skip Bayless. So either Brandon Marshall has literally no fucking idea what he's talking about, or he is the best troll ever, because that's, he was trending worldwide on Twitter.
Look, I did not know he had a show, and now I do. So
right. Exactly. I have no clue. I was like, what is this show? But guess what? I listened to it because I wanted to hear him scream and yell. So again, whether he is really bad with contracts, which he shouldn't be because he's in the middle of one right now, or whatever his situation may be, versus just trying to get people to listen, it worked.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. We're going to end with something serious and then something fun.
Yes.
We'll save the fun. The fun for the end.
The fun for last.
Yep. Going to save the fun for last. Just want to do a quick update. We really don't have too much more information, but we have talked about Deshaun Watson and everything that's been going on with him on the past few episodes. And we just want to update everyone because we've been waiting for the NFL to say something. They haven't said anything. Like, there hasn't been a statement, an investigation. We haven't really known what's been going on. So now we have 22 cases total. Against Deshaun Watson, 22 total. And the NFL put out a statement saying, the allegations are deeply disturbing and we take these issues very seriously. Immediately following news of the first allegations last month, and as has been reported, we initiated an investigation under the NFL's personal conduct policy. So that's really the only update we have. It's just the NFL actually acknowledging it. And saying that they're aware of it, and that's where we're at right now.
And the investigation part too. And I think, and again, like, I am not a lawyer, surprised, like, so I can't say exactly why I think they waited until now to say something, but I don't think it's a coincidence that we're actually seeing these women's faces and names now, like that, you know, the first woman who made the first claim, Ashley Solis, like she spoke out on camera, told her story. You know, it was very emotional, very, you could tell it was very painful for her to speak out. And I think, you know, unfortunately, in a lot of these situations, when you don't have faces and names and they're all Jane Doe's and it's like, how, you know, what is this? It's like hard to really wrap your head around what's actually happening. As soon as you actually put a face and a name and a human behind a story, and if there are 22 of these women that are going to do it, if the NFL didn't say anything, they would be, I mean, not that they handle things well anyways, but like, you have to come out and say something at this point. You've got a woman crying on TV about how she's never been the same and how emotionally and physically hurt she's been because of what's happened with Deshaun Watson. And the NFL can't stay silent. They just simply can't. So I know we're going to see it play out and all these lawyers are fighting with each other, but the NFL has to launch an investigation at this point. Their hands are tied no matter what.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So we're going to have to continue to follow along and see what happens. And now that, like you said, Casey, some of these this woman, this first woman is speaking out publicly, where you would hope that this leads to a deeper investigation and people taking all the claims seriously and hopefully to get some kind of answer or some kind of resolution.
Well, and now the whole question is, you know, what are the Texans going to do? Are they going to come out and say anything? And then Right. Like I saw a bunch of people debating today, like, is he even going to be able to play in 2021, even if the cases aren't, you know, the lawsuits aren't done yet, or, you know, whatever the trial may be, who knows? But at this point, it's like there's so much going on and we're not really that far away from football season at this point.
No.
So what is the NFL going to do? Because this situation is not going to be wrapped up in a day. This situation is not going to be wrapped up over the summer. We've got 22 women now. So what do they do with Deshaun Watson? And I think that's the biggest question is, you know, you have to let the justice system play out and, you know, whether he's innocent or guilty or whatever.
Yeah.
You can't just throw him out on the field in 2021 with these things looming.
For sure. And then let's end with, like I said, fun thing. Aaron Rodgers.
Real quick.
I know. Aaron Rodgers is guest hosting Jeopardy. This is his week. He has been ready to go. So excited. I watched Monday night. He was fantastic. Casey, it was so cute. Like, he came out. He had his hair perfectly combed, like a perfect side part with the gel, like in his suit. He almost looked like a kid going to his first big job interview. You know, he looked so excited. And not only was he excited, he did a great job. Like, I think people were really impressed with his hosting skills. And I thought he was great. And on top of all that, the fun part of this too was we had like him and Shailene Woodley on Instagram posting about how excited they were that he was hosting Jeopardy. Like, Shailene Woodley will probably never post about a football game as much as she did about him hosting Jeopardy.
Well, like she said, she never thought she'd spend the rest of her life with a guy who throws balls for a living. But
yep.
So I didn't watch the whole episode. I've just seen the social clips. I wish I would have. But like, you're so right about like going to his first day of school. Because
it was so cute. That,
it's like, and first of all, we can both admit, we might not think it's as cute before the Barstool fun thing, but now we're like, Aaron Rodgers, like he's our
love
best
friend. Yep.
But it's so different than playing football. Like, you know, I mean, obviously, like he's coming out, he doesn't have his helmet on, he doesn't have his pads on, he's out of his element. And it's like, for me, like, I don't know what your favorite game show is, but growing up, mine was The Price is Right. Like, if I got to go host The Price is Right now, I don't know what I would do. I would be like, I would just like, I've been on camera a gazillion times, but that would be different. But I loved the social media reaction with him. And you're right. Them going live on Instagram, like it's them showing each other and you know, she had no makeup on. So it's like really this like comfortable, like you see how happy they are together.
Yeah.
You really see a personality of him hosting a game show that you don't see him playing for the Green Bay Packers.
It's a totally different Aaron Rodgers than we are used to seeing. And I think I'm learning in real time that he has not really shown us who he actually is. Like, we know football Aaron Rodgers, and I don't really think we know the person Aaron Rodgers. And I thought it was so genuine and sweet. They're on her Instagram stories and they're going back and forth. And she's like this super sexy man. And he's got like this little man bun. He's gone like full California hipster with Shailene Woodley. And they're living this life. They have the dog in the backseat. He was making Princess Bride references. Like he was referencing Princess Bride. And this is, you know, maybe it's judgmental towards football players, but I just was like, Aaron Rodgers, I would never imagine him throwing out a Princess Bride reference where he's like, I was like, okay, all right. This is a different kind of side to Aaron Rodgers. And I love seeing it. I love the playfulness with Shailene. And I love him hosting Jeopardy. Because look, there's a lot of conversation of who's actually going to be the permanent host. We've had tons of guest hosts coming in and out. And I don't really know if that's something that Aaron is even interested in. If it was like,
he came out and said, at least I just saw, but I think that the thing is he wants to be full time because he thinks he can do it. He can film it all like around his football schedule, which is just
right.
It cannot be true.
That seems like that could not be right. However, if he really wants to do it, I bet they would find a way for him to do it because if he's like that passionate about it and wanted to do it that badly, I bet you they find a way to make it work. Because I was just thinking, like, this was, you know, this is a fun kind of dream come true moment. You get to guest, because there's people that are guest hosting who are like, oh, I'm happy to guest host. I don't want the full-time job. Yeah. Like, this is like a fun thing for me to do. But I don't want to be in consideration for the full-time gig. But maybe Aaron Rodgers does want that full-time gig.
It's a hard gig to follow up, right? Like, I mean, it's a hard act to follow, Alex.
Yes.
I mean, like, the greatest at his job of all time. But, I mean, this – so I think Aaron Rodgers is such a victim of, like, media personality-wise. Because, you hear, you know, Jordan Rodgers was on The Bachelorette.
He always just seemed a little stiff.
Yeah, seems to – you know, you get, you know, him getting – I will use the word slandered, saying is he doesn't talk to his family anymore. People blamed Olivia Munn. Then you got Olivia Munn coming out and maybe or maybe not slandering him in the bedroom. And you just got all these things, but he never really came out and showed his personality to give anybody any other stories. So it's like, I will admit it. I totally believed all that, but now you're seeing more of that personality. And on top of that, it does seem like he's happy in his relationship, but he's also not an idiot. He knows that, you know, I mean, he's not super old yet. I mean, he's in his, you know, mid to late
30s. Yeah.
But I think he's smart enough to look at it and say, okay, like, what is my career going to look like after I play football? And I don't think he's, you know, worried about it happening right this second, but it's a smart thing to do to start showing your personality and show. It's like Tom Brady started doing it too. Tom Brady started doing the UGG ads and all these different things, because it's like, they're going to have to stop playing football eventually. So what if Aaron Rodgers, you know, hangs it up in a few years, maybe, you know, 6-7 years, whatever, and then it's just a full-time Jeopardy host for the rest of time. I don't hate it.
Yeah. It would be a very fun timeline for him. And I tell you who would love that, Shailene Woodley.
Yeah, she would be like, oh, thank God he's not throwing footballs around.
Yep.
But the fun part with him too is that you can tell that he likes to play along. And, you know, that clip that went viral was, and I'm not a huge Jeopardy person, but I know at the very end, you get to like risk all your money or whatever.
Yeah.
And the contestant like trolled him talking about who wanted to kick the field goal.
I'm not going to lie. Like I said, I watched it and I had watched it with a couple other people and someone who is not very familiar with football and like didn't really understand what the joke was. And after I explained it, she was like, oh, that's kind of mean. I was like, you know what? You're not wrong. It was his first day guest hosting, and this guy just kind of like just threw it right in his face. So in his final Jeopardy answer, he didn't have an answer. Instead, he wrote down, you know, whose idea was it to kick the field goal?
Yeah.
Obviously, in reference to the end of the Packers season. And it just kind of was a little bit of like a kick in the nuts for Aaron Rodgers.
I just pulled it up on Twitter. Yeah, it was who wanted to kick that field goal?
He had a good time with it and definitely laughed. But I feel like inside he was definitely like, all right, fuck you.
He probably inside was like, I want to actually answer this and just throw everybody under the bus, but I'm not going to. But it's the same question we all had when it played out in real time in the playoffs. Like, why the fuck did you kick that field goal? But that's where this personality side of Aaron Rodgers is coming out. So I love it. And it's fun. Absolutely love seeing these guys' personalities off the field, because it's like everything that I believed about Aaron Rodgers, it was probably not true. It's, you know, I mean, who knows?
I don't know,
but like, he seems like he's actually pretty fucking cool.
Yeah. And if you don't watch Jeopardy or really pay attention, tune into some of his episodes, because I do think they are enjoyable. And he is definitely showing more of his personality. He's cracking a couple jokes here and there. He's making the contestants laugh. So it's definitely all in good fun. He's enjoying it. And I do love that we're seeing more of him and Shailene Woodley. He seems really happy. I mean, the two of them together seem really happy. There are pictures of them hugging at Disney World. Like, they're just...
Well, and that's like, you know, I said earlier, like, it's not like it's not a staged thing. It doesn't look like that.
No.
You know, like she's wearing sweats and no makeup. And he's...
Yeah.
It's like, you can tell they're actually like a real couple, when a lot of times you see these celebrity relationships, you're like, are you guys ever like around each other when you're normal humans?
Right.
They really are. I don't, like, we'll see, but I mean, I'm sure she loves the fact that he's in entertainment, because we know how she feels about football.
Yep.
Yeah. So now the question is do you think she made him watch Princess Bride, or do you think he knows Princess Bride from before her?
I think he knows it. I think we're like, it's one thing to say, oh, he's kind of like a closeted nerd, but now it feels like it is coming out more and more. And now I totally believe it. So,
well, and then you speak of nerds, you see Tom Brady like waving around lightsabers at Disney, like he's trying the next Star Wars. I'm like, I love this. Like, not like these, when these guys show these, like, they're like, they like revert back to like little kids. Like these, they look like kids going to school. Cause it's like, they get out of that manly, like take off their helmet form of like beating the shit out of each other. And it's like, oh, they're actually like really nerdy. And it's really cute.
Exactly. So like I said, it's been fun to watch. I'm excited to watch the rest, and who knows, maybe this could be a permanent gig.
I hope so. I mean, granted, you know, I've caught Jeopardy here and there, you know, I'll turn it on Netflix. Obviously knew a lot about Alex Trebek.
Yeah.
There wasn't really any, like, I know like Ken Jennings, they were talking about hosting, whatever. You put Aaron Rodgers as the host of a game show. Like, you've got a whole new crop of people that are going to tune into it, because it's
he puts more asses in the seats, for sure.
Asses in the seats. That is true.